Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
Blessed and Merry Christmas. Today, we're actually going to be going to Joshua. So I'm going to talk about the teens for a second, but while I'm turning there, if everybody could turn to Joshua chapter 1, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. So towards the beginning of the Bible. So before I get too far into this morning's message, I did want to just pause and reflect about the teens this year and how grateful I am watching parents week in, week out, bringing their teens on Wednesday nights and the activities. And so on behalf of me, my wife, Eunice, Peter, Gary, a genuine thank you. This has been a fantastic year to watch our teens grow. And I think about the first half as we got to see five of our teens baptized in July and just all the things that we got to watch and witness their growth. And now we're into this new series of teens, and I was always wondering, wow, we had six teens leaving, and here we go. And as we reflected and wrote Christmas cards to our teens this year, do you know that since the beginning of the fall, we've had 26 different teens come through our doors? And the 26 that we've had have been blessed by each and every one of you, whether it's through giving, because some of them couldn't afford an activity. Whether it's, I think of the Clevelands, who I know dearly pray for our teens and even contributed to our Christmas presents, which I'll get to in a little bit. But I want to just thank you all so much for your contributions to the teens, because here's another crazy part about these 26 is that two-thirds of them actually don't come to church here and don't have a family who regularly attend, which I give a lot of credit to our teens, because I've watched them have boldness. And we're going to talk about that today when it comes to courage. But it's been really neat to see these teens growing, inviting. And as we went through this fall series, we started in Genesis. And we looked at God's word and we started to break it down. Some of the challenges that our teens are faced with. Going back to our creation. Who was the creator of us? And then you look at the storyline and it talks about sin. And we've gone through and some of the challenges that our teens are faced with, and I think we all can look at them and know that the things that they're faced with today, we all look back and go, man, I'm glad I'm not in that age group because it's tough. And then we get all the way to the salvation story, which lined up perfectly the way it just progressed, and we hit Jesus at Christmas time, which worked out kind of nicely, and it wasn't even on purpose based on the schedule that we set out for. But we talked about, why did God go through all this and send his son? It was for a relationship. It's not ironic that Pastor, on his Christmas Eve service, talked about relationships and how God has sent his son to die on the cross for a relationship with him. And so it was kind of neat to know that, wow, through all of this, even the Lord's kind of directing Pastor in that same manner. So many thanks to all of you for your prayers. Looking forward to the second half for this year. So, Joshua 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. I'm going to give you the title and then we'll open up the word in this time in prayer. But going to Joshua 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So my title for today's challenge, message, the thing that God has brought me through the past couple weeks that you guys get to get on my train too, because I'm just passing along, because there's a lot of things in here that I've had a battle with myself. But Joshua's resolution, what's yours? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you that you're an amazing God. And Lord, thank you for these believers here that are gathered together. And Lord, as we look at your word, I just pray that you give us clarity to understand it. Lord, that we would, as a body, unify and grow. And Lord, please just allow clarity to come through on what you'd have us to learn from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's talk about New Year's resolutions. I'm doing a Pastor Santino, go down the stairs already. But, all right. So, New Year's resolutions. I'm going to give you the top three New Year's resolutions. And I bet you guys already have a pretty good guess. But first up on our New Year's resolutions is always what? Money. Finances, right? Number two, eating healthier, right? We all set out. We're going to eat healthier. My wife's going, so that's where the carrots were that I've been looking for, right? And then there's always the go-to, the exercise, right? We all set out and we're going to go and we're going to run miles. We're going to really exercise. This is our year, right? So let's think about these New Year's resolutions, because statistically it's pretty grim. Forbes magazine says that statistically, studies have shown that less than 25% of people actually stay committed to their resolution just 30 days after they've set out. And even more scary, only 8% of those people actually accomplish their goal for the year. So this is a real encouraging start to this message, since we're talking about resolution, right? It gets even worse. So Strava, who's heard of Strava? Anybody? So if you're a runner or a biker or generally into fitness, there's this app called Strava. And Strava monitors through GPS your all of the different components about running, but it also brings in a social network component, a friends component. You can be part of groups, exercise together. They've actually gone even worse and actually put a name on and a date of when we're all going to hit the cliff. So the number one, or the biggest day is called January 19th. 19 days after the beginning of the year, they have named it Quitter's Day. This is it. So we're like, okay, great. We have this opportunity here to really think about our New Year's resolution, yet, Jason, you're telling me that we're all going to drop off on by the 19th. And so as we think about New Year's resolutions, I'm hoping, because this is what kind of the Lord has shown with me, that we can kind of change that perspective a bit. Because our New Year's resolutions tend to be, what am I going to do? What am I going to accomplish? And I think we're forgetting a component of that, which is God. So when you look at Joshua, you guys might say to me, well, Joshua's Old Testament. That's old school. And what's really cool about this passage is that there is a direct link from Joshua in the Old Testament to the New Testament. And when you look at all the verses that build up to Joshua and Deuteronomy, there is equal parallel verses that are in the New Testament. And so we're going to be doing a little bit of a look at the Old Testament compared to the New, because we're going to make it relevant for us. But when we learned about this person Joshua, It started that this passage is looking back to 1406 BC, almost 15 years before Christ. And the book of Joshua is coming off the heels of the Pentateuch, the first five chapters, and it's the start of the historical section of the Bible. Now, there are 12 historical books, but Joshua takes on the lead with this one. Joshua is first brought into the word in Exodus 17. And it's actually interesting because there are two moments of Moses striking the rock for water, right? So this is the first one, and this is when God actually commanded him to strike the rock. And this is where we see Joshua come in. But here's an interesting part about Joshua. He's an Israelite. He was a firstborn. But he actually started in Egypt in captivity. So if you think about the last plague was the Passover. Joshua was saved by the blood of the Lamb. His parents put the blood over the door, right? So you're thinking about this already, that God's plan is even in all the way back to a plague. So then you take it one step further. He then is part of the 40 years that they travel throughout the desert. And through that time, he develops his acumen to be kind of a real military guy, right? He thinks and kind of is involved in a lot of the military components of this group and in their protection. And so when we start Joshua and we see him, they're in the plains of Moab, looking over the Jordan, and Moses has passed away. And so they're looking off in the distance going, okay, so that's where we're headed, the promised land. And I think sometimes we picture as a group that this is just going to be like a stroll. The Israelites are just going to kind of walk right into the promised land. And frankly, that's not what they're up against. So Joshua is taking over a group that probably are a little bit grumpy because they've been in the desert for 40 years, right? And they're heading over to Jordan. And this is where they're going to cross over and face the Battle of Jericho, which we might be familiar with. And so when we look at this, he's got a group of people that probably have a little bit of angst, but Joshua also knows that he's going into battle. And so this is kind of how, this is the setup for it, but when we think about the comparison of Joshua to Jesus, it's a foreshadowing. Actually, this passage, way back in the Old Testament, is a foreshadowing of Jesus. And so John Piper actually says, God's grace is portrayed in the book of Joshua through the man Joshua, who is a type of Christ. A type foreshadows the Jesus' work and role as our Savior. Joshua functions as the triumphant leader of his people, who successfully brings God's people into the promised land of rest after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. This role foreshadows Jesus' work of bringing God's people to their ultimate land of rest. That is the eternal joys of heaven. Even Joshua's name, this role of Jesus, since both names come from the same word and reflect the same meaning, the Lord saves. So today, as we look at this passage, I'd like to look at kind of three main points. And yes, I chose the letter P for my alliteration, not because Pastor did in the prior 2 weeks, but because I'd already committed to them. And then I heard Pastor and I went, well, we're sticking with P's for the month of December, I guess. So looking at this passage, we're going to first look at God is planned. So look with me at Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. So when you hear about a major challenge, I think there are many reactions that we all have different mechanisms. And as I've learned and grown, we all have a different way of responding to pressure. There are some that hide. They can't take it, right? This has been a pretty rough year, 2020 has taken a mental toll on us. I give 2021 credit because the bar is set so low for 2020 or for 2021 because of 2020. 2021 is going to look like great success, yet nothing might not even happen, but because of the standard. But when we think about this, what are the challenges, you know, that we have faced along the way, and what is our reaction? I, at times, personally, go, okay, if this is what I got to do, here's how I'm going to accomplish it, right? And as we look at this, God's saying, it's not about you, Joshua. It's about me for what I have planned. And he actually goes on and three times says, be strong, be courageous. You get the idea that they're a little bit nervous, because why would God have to say it three times to them? And I think in many ways we can identify with Joshua. We're uneasy right now. What does the world have for us? Where are we headed? And God is saying here, and I think he's saying it to us, be strong and courageous. And when we look at the word strong, it's not about having pretty biceps or pretty triceps. It's about being firm, being able to withstand. When he talks about courageous, he's saying, be bold, be determined. And so when you put this together, he's saying, don't worry, I have you. Be able to withstand what's about to come. But be determined with it. Be bold. He goes on in Isaiah to say in chapter 43, verses 1 through 3, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. He's talking about the lineage there. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So let's do a compare and contrast. I want everybody to pause for a second and think about an experience that you've gone through personally where you felt alone. You were going through a trial maybe or an experience and you felt by yourself. Nobody was around you and you just had to muddle through it. I know each and every one of us has probably had that circumstance in their life. There are many that come to my mind of just trying events where you felt by yourself. Now let's do, so that's a rough moment, but think about the comparison of that. Think about a time when you had somebody come alongside you, be with you, who felt like they had a different glimpse as to what the end was going to look like. So the teens this year, this fall, our kickoff activity was zip lining. And so there's a picture up there of our teens, and we went over to UConn, and we had an activity of climbing trees and doing ropes courses and zip lining. And when we arrived there, we actually did it in partnership with another church, and it was a lot of fun. But when we arrived there, I saw fear in some of the teens' eyes. And I'm looking back, and I see a few teens in here. And I remember them looking up going, whoa. And we get there, and people are zinging past and climbing. And there was a genuine fear. But now, they had people to help us. So they came in, and they said, all right, we're going to put harnesses on you. We're going to teach you how to climb. We're going to teach you how to clip in. We're going to teach you how to have fun and enjoy. If I just let our teens go, I think the parents would be pretty upset because I'd have a lot of broken limbs and a lot of bumps, bruises, and scratches, right? But these guides had a glimpse of what it would look like. They knew the end result, that these teens were going to have a blast. And they seemed to have clarity even in the time of fear. And by the end of the night, I couldn't find half the kids because they were zipping through the treetops in the middle of the night, and it was an absolute great time. But I think sometimes we don't understand what's to come, and it can stifle us. And there were teens that I saw that were like, I'm good. You guys go. In fact, there were actually adults too, by the way, that were a little bit fearful. Gary's waving in the back, you know, on security. He might have been a little bit fearful. I went a week ahead of time just to vet out my bugs and butterflies, so I looked real confident when I got there, right? But that's what God is saying, is that I understand what's going through here. I'm going to give you the tools to be successful. So now, when we think about that and we look at the scriptures, it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, of self-control." When you think about the word fear, it's not just standing still. It's saying a cowardice, a retreat. Remember the audience. They're kind of military-minded because they're about to go fight, right? And God's saying, I didn't give you that. I didn't give you this ability, you know, this stifling ability. I gave you ability for confidence, for courage, for strength. And when we think about our resolutions, first one that I shared was about money, right? And in Hebrews is an interesting passage when you do a compare of Old to New Testament, because Hebrews was primarily written to a saved Jewish audience. And so a lot of the verses that you read in Hebrews are actually looking back to the Old Testament and making them relevant for this new group. They align well. They understand because they have read all about the Old Testament. And so Hebrews is a fantastic passage if you want to do a bounce back and forth. But in Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, it says, "Keep your life free of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." God's saying here, not only do I have you, don't fear, and I'm with you, but he's taking it one step further and saying, I know the plan, and I know how it's going to end. And isn't that confidence inspiring to have somebody alongside you that's not only saying, I'm there to help fight the battle, but don't worry, I know how it's going to end. Be strong and courageous. So thinking about God has planned, but in this passage, we have number two, which God expects and desires perseverance from the believer. So in Joshua 1, verse 7, it says in verse 8, "Only be strong and courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." This is an interesting passage because verse 7 is actually the commandment and verse 8 is the how. And I like personally the how because, all right, tell me what to do and here's how I'm going to do it. But when we look at verse 8, so we're going to kind of flip it a bit. There are two key words that I want to highlight. One is being meditate, and then it's followed up by the words to do. So meditate, I want you to think about this word as we approach and kind of step back into verse 7. But meditate, the Strong's Dictionary actually, or Strong's Concordance, I'm sorry, defines this as to think, but to speak. So I think sometimes we think about meditate and we go, oh, I meditated, right? I've come up with some really great thoughts. But what this is saying is actually thinking about it so that I can speak it. It's like a teacher who, I think the hardest part of a teacher is actually understanding it so well that they could then reteach it to somebody else so that they could understand, right? That's the idea of meditate. But then we add kind of the component of the Vine's Dictionary as it looks at this word, and it says to think about, to practice. So when we think about the word meditate, it's thinking in our minds, but then getting ready to speak and to put that thing into practice. But then he follows up with to do according to all that is written. To do is a tough one, right? That means to commit, to execute, to get it done. So remembering this audience that we have, you know, they're ready and they're hearing, okay, this is what we have to do. So when we look at it as an individual, because I think we have to look at it, that God is talking individually to each one of these Israelites, including Joshua. But then he also talks to us as a body of believers. And so I'm going to refer to it as the church. And so here's my two sub-points within this section. So it says, do not look to the right or the left in verse 7. So the idea of this is horse blinders. For those of you familiar with the equestrian world, horse blinders, right? You've seen them going down the parades, and they got these blinders over their eyes, and they get about this much of a tunnel vision, right? Because all of the things on their right and to their left could be what? Distracting. And so, you know, when our oldest daughter during high school did equestrian, and she competed, and when Abby was on a horse, it was a good horse. Let me add that in there. It was beautiful, right? You've all seen that. The galloping around, the jumping over the obstacles, whatever they're called. And it was absolutely beautiful, and she loved it. But there was a horse named Gibbs. And Gibbs, I swear, was possessed, right? And we would go to her lesson time, and you'd look at the chart, and sometimes I just think the teacher had it out for poor Abby when it came to horseback riding, because we would see Gibbs on the board that she was assigned to, and we'd all go, oh no, this is going to be rough. Gibbs was a little bit of a nervous Nelly, and as she would ride all these other horses, it looked like she knew what she was doing. But somehow when you brought Gibbs in, the slightest move would set this horse off, and I'd watch my daughter fly, and she hit walls, and we've had to replace helmets because she hit her head, because Gibbs just wasn't happy. But I think there is a direct comparison. As when we look at what God is saying to Joshua, I think we sometimes are Gibbs. That all of the things, they might be so minuscule in our everyday walk, but they send us spiraling. And Gibbs is off bucking away off into the, you know, just losing his ever-loving mind. And then they have to go get him and calm him down and go through all of these steps to calm him. But I wonder if we sometimes get that same way. And what God is saying when he's talking about the to-do and the meditate, it's in preparation of that moment. Scripture, having that mindset of what the Lord has called us to, puts those blinders on. It's the filters that keeps that outside noise. And I think we all have had that moment, myself included, and I'm going to digress for 1 second, because when pastor says to me, hey, would you mind preaching on this date? And I say, yes, in my mouth. In my mind, I go, oh no, because this means I got to go through scripture now, and God's probably going to call me out for a few things here. So guess what? I'm going to share them with you, and I know, don't judge me because I know you're there with me, but thinking about some of the fundamentals of our meditation, what does your prayer life look like? Is it an attitude of repentance? God says you need to have a mindset of meditation. How are we supposed to meditate on something if we don't read it? Like, this is the practical, right? Now, if you're not good at kind of capturing that and keeping, some of you are really lucky. You read it once, it's like in there. And I was not a good test taker. I did not memorize well. But when you think about scripture, the memorization piece, because that is your filter. Those are the things that hold you true for life circumstances. And I think we derail many times. And when I ask you as a person individually, what does it look like at your house? How are you by yourself? Let's take it one step. Parents, me included, what do we look like when life circumstances come our ways? This year has been an adapting year, right? But what does it look like for us as parents? What do our kids see when it comes to how we hear all that noise? What are we using as our filter? When we think about our friends, what does our conversation look like? You don't need to talk about the Patriots as much as I'd love to, but they're terrible this year. Think about what you should be talking about, right? And that's a challenge, I think, for all of us as individuals. As we approach this new year, what are some of the things that we can put in our mind to think about, to meditate on? But the hardest part, I think, is the to-do, right? We can all say that we've thought about this. We've had really good thoughts. But what are we doing with those thoughts? How are we converting them into actions? And when we look at going back to that 2 Timothy passage, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. But then he also says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. I think sometimes we look at that passage and go, this is my material to help them, right? But let's personalize this now. And when you look at this, we're putting all this material into our minds so that we are equipped. And he ends it, to do every good work. And I had this kind of vision last night of a soldier, because of our audience that we're talking to here, is coming to battle, getting ready, putting all that armor on, getting ready to fight, and then sitting down in their living room and doing nothing with it. Doesn't make sense, does it? And that's what God's calling us to do. So now, we're talking about the individual, but let's talk about the church. So we are a local body of believers, and I think I'm hoping to personalize this a bit. Going back to that Strava statistic, do you know that as they read it and did some comparisons of those that were by themselves monitoring their own successes and those that were involved in groups, the ones that involved the group showed significant improvement in the success rate of their accomplishments and their goals? The only thing that changed was the people around them, right? And so as a church, we look to back to that Hebrews section, and Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love, to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So it's really about us as a body of believers. And I grew up going to church basically my entire life. My father was saved when I was young, and then we've been involved in it ever since. And I think a lot of times we bring up the illustration that we come to church, and as parents, we all yell at our kids to get out the door, and then we come to church and go, hey, God bless, right? And I think we all had that moment. For those of you who aren't laughing, you're in denial, because we've all had the moment, right? But let's take it one step further. And so some of you might know that I'm in the world of insurance, and one of my roles in insurance was dealing with large property losses. And so a lot of times I would have the fire claims, and you would drive by those houses and you see them all boarded up and you got the black lines coming out of them. And I shared this with the teens a couple of years ago because I think it really reflects some of what I'm trying to portray here. And I went to this one house and I pull up, and typically when I pulled up, there's police tape, there's caution tape. It looks like a pretty rough spot. And I pulled up to this one house and it looked perfect. It looked beautiful. And so I looked at my sheets and I looked at the address, and it was supposed to be here. And then a cop pulls up and he's talking to me, and he kind of warns me about what I'm about to walk into. And the insured walks over, and she's very well kept, very nice. And so as I went to go into this house, this beautiful house, you would not know there was a fire in it. I couldn't even open the front door. And so then I had to kind of push further. And inside this beautiful house was complete and utter garbage throughout the entire house. And she hadn't unloaded her garbage in years, including the dogs going to the bathroom, including a living room with beer cans up to the ceiling. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. And I think sometimes, as believers, as church-going people, we try to make sure our house looks absolutely perfect on the outside, but we forget to deal with what's on the inside. And as I worked with this insured over time, this was a year-long process. She was freed because somebody finally knew, and people were around her. Family was around her. She never invited people over. Oh, I'll come to your house. And as she finally came to and had people around her, she got better. And lucky for her, you never know that a fire was a blessing. And there was a fire inside, but it smoldered because all the contents in it held the smoke in. And I think that's an illustration of what we can be sometimes as a church. And so my challenge to us as a church, as we go into 2021, is not to hide what we have inside. You know, we talk about sharing each other's burdens. We talk about not judging, and this is the real, this is where we put it into practice. Winston Churchill said, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And I think as a body of believers, what God is saying is to have the courage to do this together. We're not perfect. We don't need to be that perfect person. And as a body of believers, we shouldn't be the ones that are judging, because guess what? We're all fallen, right? And so this year as a church, you know, we talked about grow was our word. And so my question is, as we're kind of coming to the end of this year, is how can we grow as a local body of believers? How can we be active in each other's lives? What can we do? I know it feels like, oh, COVID's a good excuse to not do anything right now, but we can still be active. How can each one of us show grace and encouragement and build on our unity as a local congregation? So my last P is God blesses with prosperity. So you guys are like, sweet, we're going back to the original function of this, money. No, God, when he talks about prosperity, guess what? In the Hebrews, it has nothing to do with money. So let's take a look. It says, for then we will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's not talking about money here. He's talking about accomplishing a mission. He's talking about having insight as to the circumstances that are going to come up. Prosperous means, in this sense, to push forward and to advance. So in the New Testament, we think about, we always mention the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But what if that is our prosperity? Because he also says, go and make disciples to all nations, baptizing and teaching. What if that was our success as a church? What if we looked at that as our aha moment of 2021, right? We shared these books. I mentioned the Clevelands. They donated some funds so that all of our teens could get a copy of this book. And it's called The New City Catechism. It's by Kathy Keller, Tim Keller's wife. And they're simple phrases about some of the basics of our theology in a way that hopefully our teens can understand. And it has a corresponding statement and then a verse below. And so, parents, your teens all got one. If you haven't gotten one, we have more. Please make sure those that were at the Christmas party did get one. But it says, you know, number 4 of this catechism, of the second section, says, how and why did God create us? And it says, God created us, male and female, in his own image so that we would know him, love him, live with him, and glorify him. And it is right that we, who are created by God, should live to his glory. I think many times we equate our success to our own goals, and we were talking that about in the beginning about our resolution. But what if we saw the advancement of the gospel as our success? What if we celebrated spiritual growth within our community as a success? And so in conclusion, I'm going to admit to you that it's a little bit deceiving, because I start off by saying, what was Joshua's resolution? What's yours? It's not about our resolution, right? That's kind of the trick of it all. Why would God say 3 times in just a small passage, be strong, very courageous? God is saying, be encouraged, be secure, be brave, but be alert mentally and physically, meaning doing. So thinking about the beginning of this year, it's not about a New Year's resolution. It's about asking God, what's his plan for you? It's about searching the will of God and his plan for you, being in his word, meditating in a way that's thinking about how you can actively do. It's about being unified with fellow believers, growing, challenging, sharing each other's burdens. And when I looked at Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I feel like that's epic meditation. Renewing, right? Getting you on that right path. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Our resolution should be, Lord, what is your will? Show me, guide me, and help me to be strong and courageous. So as the close of this, thinking about the end of this year and looking to the beginning of next year, pastor's going to come up, and then I had asked them if we could close with a couple of gentlemen from our church. So Gary's going to come up and Mr. Tholen, and then after pastor's done, we're going to close out this with some unity in prayer. Look into 2021. Let's pray together for what God would have us to do as a congregation individually, but then as a congregation, like what can we do together as our whole world re-evolves around us and how to be sensitive to our communities and just understanding what the Lord would have us to do. So, all right, let's close in prayer and then pastor will come up. Father, thank you for this time and thank you for your word. Thank you for what you have shown us and learned from your word to develop, to encourage, to challenge, Lord. I ask that you would just help us to just be sensitive now and with each other. And thank you for this time and in this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand this morning. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, you come. Maybe it's time to come and pray and say, God, I want to know you better. I want to prosper. Maybe you're weary. Some of us are weary. And I think that's a lot of us are going through 2020. We're weary, but we need to persevere. Maybe some of you just need strength this morning. This is the time of year, like you said, get back to the basics. How have you been? Have you been reading your Bible? Did you start this morning reading your Bible? And we all get out of those habits. And so the beginning of the year is always a good time to get back to where God wants us to be. So let's, as we sing this song, you pray, and maybe God just wants you to come down and pray and say, God, speak to me. God, I want to.
Cherubim with sleepless eyes.
Amen. Jason, thank you for those words. Brother Tholen and Gary, you guys come up and close us out in prayer this morning.
Good morning. Let us close in a word of prayer. Father God, we just come to you with great thanks and praise for all the gifts that you have bestowed upon us, Father. Countless things that we see day in and day out, we are so grateful for, Father. Thank you for this church and for this church body, and that we're able to reach people far and wide, that we have this technology to be able to reach others out. Lord, we thank you for Jason and his message today. We thank you so much for that, Father. Father, we thank you for the children amongst this church and how important they are and how valuable, Father. Father, thank you for being able to come alongside them this year and bear witness to so many wonderful things. Father, as we look to 2021 and what that might bring, we ask, Lord, that we just might focus more on you, Father, as we know this is the answer to all the things that we seek. No matter what season you may be in, no matter what difficulty you may be incurring, Father, let us look to you. And as I prayed with the teens, Father, let us grow a relationship in you, Father. Let us seek you in all things. Let us pray more often, Father. And Lord, let us spread your gospel. For your salvation on the cross, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Father, as we continue in prayer, close out our service this morning, we just thank you for your love and for bringing us together this morning for this service, and thank you for the message that Brother Jason brought. As we approach the close of 2020, we are reminded of your great faithfulness to us as individuals, and especially the Faith Baptist Church. You have allowed us to keep our doors open and continue the ministry that you have given us. We have seen souls saved. We have seen the baptismal waters stirred, and people come into the fellowship of the church, and we're thankful for that. Many people have helped in various ways to make the ministry what it's been. Many in person here, but even some not able to come, have still lent support, and we are thankful for each and every one of them. And now as we approach 2021, we are reminded that your mercies are new each day. We're also reminded that there's still so much work to be done, so many people to be reached. We pray, dear Lord, that you would help us each and every one to commit our time, our talents, and our treasure to you, and that you would give everyone a place in your ministry here. We pray for those who have already participated, that you would help us to recommit ourselves to you. We pray for those who have not yet gotten involved, Lord. We just pray that you would help them to realize their need to be a part of the ministry here and give them a place of service. Father, this world looks for iron leaders, iron armies, iron tendons, and muscles of steel. Iron saints. And we pray that you would help us to realize that and realize that the only way iron can really be infused of the believer is through the various trials and sufferings that you send our way through your divine providence. But Father, we have the confidence to and the promise that you're always with us, you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, and that you will bring us through in your way, in your good timing. So, Father, help us all to live for you this year and truly make a difference for the cause of Christ. For it's in his name that we ask these things. Amen.